Young entertainment professionals. All right, independent writers and publishers, listen up. I was lucky enough to get an hour with two of the busiest, most hardworking young songwriters in town. And I mean, seriously, it was pretty tough to get a date on the books with them. Outside of their 2 to 3 writes that they each have each day, even on weekends. But Brian Alexander and Mary Cutter are personally my favorite writing duo right now. And so on this episode of the Yet Podcast, I have them share stories about some of their most beloved co-writers, like Anna Graceman, Chris Slay, Carrie Degman, Angie Kay, and many more familiar names. Together, this team is navigating the TikTok world, sync opportunities, and potential publishing deals. And I would say they have got it figured out. So if you're a new writer to Nashville and you're looking to be a great co-writer, I'd take notes because they've got all the tips and tricks. Sometimes all it takes is a little slide into the DMs if you do it right. So let's go. Okay, well, we don't really need to start formally, but I'm so excited to be here at Reservoir on West End, your new publishing home, Mary.
Thank you for
inviting us into your writing space. Is this where you two are writing most often these days?
We are writing a lot at Reservoir now. We've written some good ones so far.
I love it in here. It's really nice. And thank you so much for taking your weekend to hang out with us. I cannot believe your guys' schedules. You're both writing twice every single day, like from early morning till late at night. You guys are dedicated. I can't believe how many songs you wrote in the last year.
Yes.
What was your final tally?
You know, last year was like, it was a little bit lighter than 21. 21 okay. was 397. Last year was somewhere close to there, a little under 300, I think.
And yeah. We're in March right now, and you posted the other day that you hit 100.
Yeah, so it's crazy. Wow. I think this year's going to be busy. I think we're going to do it. You know?
I think you're starting out in a really nice spot.
Yeah, I'm really grateful.
I'm so happy for you, for
thanks
you both.
Thanks, Amelia, for, you know, putting this thing together.
Oh, yeah, no, I'm just excited to get my favorite writing duo in a room where I can just ask questions and kind of share who you guys are with the people in Yep that don't know who you are yet. But I'm sure that so many of them do because you guys are both great connectors, great with relationships. I mean, we met at Red Door at an event at a mixer. And you were connecting me with some songwriters. And then I think I booked you on a write with some writers that I was working with.
Yeah.
And you told me you have to get to know Mary.
Right, right.
And from there, I mean, I don't think that you guys ever told me no in any suggestion that I had for you guys, like when it came to putting you with any writer. And
you
I think
got a
that,
great radar, baby.
No, I think that you guys do. That is like something that not everybody is willing to do, is to take that risk and just, you know, take a chance on names that you've never heard before.
Right.
Especially if it's, you know, a creative director, that's really what they try to do is put you together with people that they think you'll get to know and be friends with and work with well. And so, no, you guys, I think it's been really good on you to always take those chances. And then you do a really good job at keeping those relationships afterwards. And you don't even rely on the creative director, I'd say, to keep those relationships or keep those bookings going. I think it's amazing. You guys do a really good job at making that happen yourselves. And that's probably why you're so tight with your collaborators and your co-writers.
You're awful kind. Thanks.
You are so encouraging.
Oh, no.
Oh, my gosh.
I'm huge, huge fans.
Dude.
I'm a huge fan of you guys. The feeling is mutual. You know.
Wow. Thank you.
No, thank you. Thank you. Okay, well,
I really appreciate everything you've done to help us out.
Oh, well.
Straight up.
Even an amazing friend of us.
It's all mutual.
And friend and champion. And in this town, there's a, you know, you mentioned a lot of names. There's a lot of names that we don't know, right? There's so many people in general that are talented. And I just want to say thanks, not to get sappy before we even get started, but like, thanks for, you know, I guess seeing something in Brian and me as writers and, you know, just being such you know, a believer in what, you know, we're chasing down. So
it's been so impressive to see what you guys are doing.
There's a lot of people you could get behind, and I appreciate that we're one of those people.
You are my top two, sincerely.
Dude, like, coming from you, that means, sorry to cut in, that means so much. Because you are like, I'll tell people about you. I'm like, you got to meet this girl, yep, Amelia. If there's anything you're trying to accomplish in Nashville, you just got to meet
this girl. That's funny, because that's exactly what I'm telling people. I've been telling people about you for years. And I've noticed some publishers, I'll say, that like, I remember telling them about you years ago and just being like, okay, whatever. And now I'm like, okay, well, are you paying attention to them yet?
Oh, well. You know, but not everyone. It says so much about you as a businesswoman. I think, you know, lots of people get behind people or ideas once they're already rolling. Mm-hmm. But like, gosh, just see things before they kick off. That is such a gift. Mm.
Which is what you guys do with with the writers and the artists that you guys have worked with. And I think it's really cool the way that you've found some of these artists. Mm. Do you like DM them? Isn't that something that you've told
That's
me in the past?
That's definitely a thing that I do. I have no shame in the DM game. You know? It is kind of crazy though. I mean, but I'll say that, you know, like Nate Smith had DM'd me.
Really?
That's how we first started, through a mutual friend. He reached out, but then Bailey Zimmerman, I saw cover of Sleeve that we wrote together, Brian and I with Nate and Noah Lubert.
That's so crazy.
And then I was like, hey, do you want to write? So it was just like all through the Instagram.
So Bailey covered a song, a Nate Smith song that you guys wrote.
Yeah.
And reached out to him on Instagram.
Right.
And he was just like, yeah,
this
I'm
was before
down to
he was
write.
Really popping
he
off.
He wasn't even living here
he
yet,
was,
probably.
Correct. And so he would have to come down from Illinois. He'd work all week at the, you know, the gas pipeline. Drive down after he got off work, we'd ride on the weekend, they drive back. And so it's so crazy. Like, that's literally, I don't know. And
the
I remember
gas pipeline.
Yeah. Yeah. Isn't that crazy?
Like, you, I love when like your Kentucky really comes out and it's so genuine. Like,
I love your impersonation. That was great.
You know?
Well, you hear it just, in some of your songs too. And it's not that you're even putting a character on. It really is you,
that's
Mary.
That's the real Mary.
Thanks, Amelia. You know, you can try to hide it, but then it just, you know.
No,
you know,
I love
still
it.
It just slips out, you
I
know.
Love it.
As an artist, you're often misunderstood. You deserve a partner who gets you. You need a bank that's driven by dreams of what could be and not just what is. Our friends at Pinnacle Financial Partners offer relationship-focused service with a team-based partnership approach, local decision-making, 24/7 support, experts that understand your area of the industry, and start-to-finish financial services. To learn more about how to collaborate with Pinnacle Bank in the creative community, call 615-744-2881 or visit pnfp.com.
We should talk a little bit about where you're each from.
Yes. Yeah. Go Brian.
Oh, I'm from Northern Michigan.
I
grew up in a really small town where there's lakes everywhere and it's a really simple way of life.
Yeah.
And if you want to go out with your friends, there's an Applebee's and like a Walmart and that's about it. We've got like ski hills and all that. So I had a really quiet upbringing overall and I miss it. When you're a kid, I tell people you want to leave Michigan as a kid. Uh-huh. And once you're an adult, you want to go back to that. You know,
Michigan,
it's one of those places. Winter. Yeah, especially the northern part of the state. That's what I can really vouch for. So
is that where Ryan Hurd is from?
I believe Ryan is from Kalamazoo.
Yeah.
I
don't know where on the mitt that
that's
would
near
be.
Grand Rapids in the southwest side. I was visiting a friend at a university there, Western Michigan University, and I was wandering around downtown waiting for her to get out of school. Uh-huh. And I started talking to this lady and she was like, oh, you got to meet my son, Ryan. He's down in Nashville doing music. Never actually hit him up, but she gave me his number and he's still a friend. I gotta connect with someday.
Yeah, no
but
kidding.
So what a crazy small world, though.
I think
right?
I compared you to him right when I met you.
Oh, that's
you
right.
Similar.
I think I told you the story.
You both
once.
Had like the same hairstyle.
Back in the day,
yeah. Well, and I worked with Ryan so early on in his career too. He was like so young and like you looked so much like him
that's
when
cool.
I met you.
That's funny.
So it surprised me that you were both from Michigan and so many great writers here are from Michigan.
Crazy, right?
There's something about like, I don't know, like it seems soulful and like it seems like a place where you would really just like reminisce and you probably, I don't know, read great books and come up with great ideas. I don't know. There's something about Michigan.
It's a diverse place. Yeah. Where I'm from initially, it's an auto town, you know, And so was like everybody, like all my uncles wore t-shirts with like pockets in them that they put cigarettes in, and they wore union hats, and they all worked in car factories.
Cool.
And that's like the southeast part of the state if you're in like that world, you know. But then there's businesses too, and there's farms and tourism, and it's all really diverse, you know.
I love that.
So yeah, it's I would say though, compared to like Nashville, it's like so simple, you know, two-lane highways and all that. So
that's but really you made cool. it here, and so did your brother, who yeah. I think I also met through a Yup event years mm-hmm. ago.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, he moved here first. And I honestly knew nothing about Nashville. We have an aunt that lives like an hour north of town, and we used to come down
that's
here.
That's my story too.
Which wow. town?
In Hendersonville.
Hendersonville, yeah.
Yeah, so like just north of Hendersonville.
Okay.
So I grew up coming here as a kid.
Crazy. Yeah, yeah. So if you kept going up 31, you'd pass Gallatin and up to Westmoreland. Yeah. They were up there. But I think my aunt brought us to Nashville once as kids to go ice skating at the Sportsplex.
Oh.
But prior to that, I'd never been here and I didn't know anything about Nashville. But my brother moved here. My sister was coming down to go to college. 2 days before oh, wow. she was going to go, I said, you know, I'm just going to go with you. Oh, and so I threw a suitcase in the car and we came down, and my brother found us a place on Music Row. And I didn't know what Music Row was. I knew one country song when I moved here.
You didn't know it was the perfect spot.
Had no idea.
Gosh.
We paid $375 each a month to live there, and in a beautiful apartment.
Oh, wow.
And it was just crazy.
Times have changed a little bit.
Times have changed.
You know.
So 12 years ago.
That is an amazing story.
It's really cool.
Mary, is where you're from, like, rural and country?
Oh, yes, honey. I mean, you know, we just got a Taco Bell, though, in my hometown, which is really exciting, you know, definitely, like, makes that tasty. but, yeah, I'm from Kentucky, and I love where I'm from. You know, it's, I mean, probably a similar situation, Brian, where you said, you know, things are just simpler, for lack of better words, you know? I mean, most people work on the line at Toyota, or they're farmers, or, you know, they... you know, maybe become a teacher or a nurse, you know, and gosh, like I still go home all the time, just 2.5 hours away.
That's so nice and easy.
Oh, I love seeing the family, you know, going back and, you know, being out in the country. But yeah.
Good. I love that. So you two met also at an event.
Yes. Pajama party, right?
Yes. And you know, whenever I first moved to town, I immediately started hosting writers' nights, because before I moved here, I worked in TV radio right outside of Louisville. I hosted a weekly music variety show. So whenever I came down here, I was like, you know what? This is a natural way to make some moolah.
Yeah.
I'll host writers' rounds. Yeah. And Brian was playing Cajon for, who was the artist you were playing for?
Carrie, which is also
Carrie
how
Dick?
I met
oh,
you.
That is
yeah,
so wow.
Us.
Yes,
yeah.
He did crazy. Introduce us. That
Carrie Degnan, yeah.
That's wow. crazy. Carrie's great.
Yeah.
Such a great human. So talented.
Yeah.
And then we met again
right.
whenever I was hosting another writer's night at Tin Roof. I was like, who is this
right.
guy? And so we set up some rides. It's so funny, Amelia. So they're just one-on-ones. And we kept them not
right.
finishing the song. Yeah, we would just like start talking. And it'd be 3.5 hours. We'd have like 2 lines. Like we were literally those people.
Just talking.
And it was just like, man. And I was like, you know what? I think if we actually finish this song, it might actually be great. And then, so we started bringing thirds. So we stay focused. And, you know, the rest is history.
And wow. wait, the first song we wrote together, though, actually wrote, was that with Angie? I think it was.
Maybe Holler and Swaller was the
oh,
first
maybe.
One.
Oh, maybe. Okay.
With Noah.
Oh, maybe.
Angie was very early on,
yeah.
though. Maybe within like 2 or 3 months of like writing together,
yeah.
which that song has a cool story.
Yeah.
And we're talking about Angie K, by the way.
Oh, yeah.
For any folks that want to do the research.
Yeah.
Brian, and maybe I should let you tell this story, but...
I just slid into her DMs. I saw
yeah,
exactly. a video yeah, Angie
funny.
Posted.
No, it's the way to do it, y'all.
Yeah, I thought she was great. And, you know, I'm just a guy hitting up a girl. So I'm like, hey, I'd love to write with you. You're fantastic. And I have a female friend. Her name's Mary. We should all write.
It's yeah. not creepy, we promise.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Yeah.
And we come in. We wrote at CSAC that day, right?
Mm-hmm.
And we write this song. Brian brought in this chorus that he played. And I was just like, whoa, this is beautiful. It was called Heart on Fire. And we wrote the song a couple weeks later, literally a couple weeks later.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't know anything about Angie. Brian said we need to write with her. I was like, hey, anyone you're down for, I'm down for, right? And of course, we loved Angie the moment we met her. A couple weeks later, she hits us up and says, hey, guys, just so you know, this Friday, I'm playing the Ryman. And I'm going to play Heart on Fire.
Oh,
and we were like,
gosh.
What? The Ryman?
The Ryman.
Yeah.
yeah.
So fast forward, we're at the Ryman. And this has so much about Angie. I feel like this has to be part of the story that we share.
Mm-hmm.
She's playing several songs. And she says to the light people, they said, can you turn on the house lights? Brian Alexander, Mary Cutter, where are you? Stand up. And literally, the lights come on at the Ryman Auditorium. The freaking Ryman Auditorium.
She said, the mother church.
I wrote, yes, the mother church of country music. She said, I wrote this next song with my two friends, Brian and Mary, and she plays Heart on Fire. And it was like, I was a puddle of tears.
And we had only been writing together at most a couple months at that point. Right.
Well, maybe
it was a short time.
It was in August, and we had met her in July.
Yeah,
which is crazy. So not even like you know,
it felt like we were on top of the world.
It was really exciting, it was cool. And things started, you know, kind of picking up at that point, which was really cool. It can all start with a song.
And so you just were consistently writing together naturally, or did you kind of make a decision like, we need to work as a writer duo? Like, we just need to keep bringing in artists because we work so well together. And it's such an easy way to book when there's already two that work well together and you can bring in a great artist. But how did you like make that determination that you needed to write together as frequently as you do? Like, what percentage of songs do you guys write together? These days.
Gosh, what did I tell you the other day whenever I did the Schedule A for Rez? I can't remember how many songs you were on, but it was a lot.
It's a lot.
it's a lot of songs.
It's fluctuated, right? Based on seasons of life. Uh-huh. Like,
yes.
And in the early days.
Yes.
Yeah, in the early days, we started with our friend Noah Lubert.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So we were like a writing trio.
Yes.
And that was super consistent. Uh-huh. And then we would bring in the artist in to the room. Mm-hmm. And then
COVID happened.
Noah moved to Chicago. We kept going.
Yes.
And I would do morning sessions with Mary typically. And I've always worked nights. And so then I would go to my night job. And then Mary would go write with Chris Sly.
I was going to bring him up too.
Yeah.
I didn't even know who Chris was until you brought him to the Yep Writers round.
Isn't that crazy?
And we were all blown away by him singing Here Comes Goodbye, which he wrote for Rascal Flatts.
Yes. He's so low key, just like got up there.
So low key.
Just, you know, sings the number one song.
Yeah.
Just
like, and everyone's looking around like, this Ballad guy of the wrote Decade. This song? Like, how young was he when he wrote that song?
Right,
And he's had like 9 top 25 Billboard. Yes.
And he was a huge Christian artist, like literally huge. And he walked away from the business for, I guess, close to a decade. And then he came back. Nate introduced me and Chris.
Okay.
And we started writing right before COVID. We maybe had 4 or 5. I mean, Chris could tell you the exact number writes. But then once COVID hit, everyone was canceling their sessions.
Right.
And I remember, you know, I'm big on the voice messages. Mm-hmm. You both know this. I send lots of them. And I remember talking to both Brian and Chris. I was like, hey, if everyone's going to cancel sessions, that's totally fine. But hey, why don't we just write a ton? And so, you know, Brian, you know, once the lockdown was over, you were back to work in the evenings.
Oh, yeah.
But we just started, you know, writing a ton. Just kind of happened, you know?
COVID was actually great in that aspect that we were doing doubles and stuff and on Zoom. And we got, we had so much, like, growth in that time.
Well, you were able to write with whoever.
That's true.
Yeah.
Like,
yes, that's really true. The walls definitely did come down. Everything kind of leveled out, you know?
So interesting.
It really is. Yeah. And of course, that was kind of a different time, hopping on the Zoomy Zooms. I love Zoom writing. I know some people don't like it. That's totally, I get that. In person's awesome too.
Yeah.
But it is kind of nice. You're wearing pajamas and fuzzy socks and like nobody knows. You know what I'm saying? But some great songs have been written. Life-changing songs have been written on the Zoomy Zoom.
Our biggest songs were both over Zoom. So.
Wow. Really? Yeah. You're right. With streams. When we talk streams as it stands currently. Yeah. Yes.
And Move It as well.
Yes. Move It. Yes. Yeah. That was on a Zoomy Zoom too.
Yeah.
And Brian, it was a same way. How did you meet Anna? I feel like I always mess up this story. Was it through you?
Amelia's podcast. Yeah.
Wow.
She's Amelia's.
Hey, honestly,
I'm sorry, playlist,
she is a distant cousin of mine.
Yeah.
Amelia, you should know that, and not to get sappy again, you kind of low-key changed our lives with that connection. No, like, actually, I freaking love Anna.
Anna
like,
is so much. Anna Graceman.
Phenomenal person.
Incredible
insanely
artist.
Insanely talented. Yes. And we started writing, and we started writing on the reg. It was during the lockdown, and we wrote this song. I didn't know anything about sync music. I mean, at all. Maybe you did, Brian. I really did. I knew there was music in film and TV, but like in commercial, but I didn't know.
Right.
And that Move It song, I mean, how many placements has it had? It got the USPS commercial.
Got the movie.
Yes, got the movie. That was the number one movie on Netflix for like a week or two. Had the TV show. I feel like there might have been something else.
The L word, yeah.
Yes. And like, and then, it was just life changing. Opened up the door for more sync things. And like,
that movie was so cute. What was it called? I can't remember.
Look the other way.
Look both ways.
Look both ways. That's right. Look both ways.
I watched it actually 2 nights ago. Just that scene. When I need a pick me up, I'll fast forward to that scene. And actually, I listened to it and I was like, dang, or watched it. It was like, this is actually a great song. And it's cool that
you
just
never know
when that magic strikes in the room and it's the right day at the right time. Like you always think you write pretty good songs, but once in a while that special one comes.
It's an inspiring one.
Yeah. And it's just like every part about it hits you. So
you never know what a song could do. I think that's one of the most beautiful things. And and you never know what like a songwriting session can do. It can literally be a life changer. Like, thank goodness you didn't cancel. You know what I'm saying? That would have been unfortunate. But
This podcast is supported by Frost Specialty. For over 30 years, Frost Specialty has managed the risk and insurance needs of the entertainment industry like no other agency. Located on Historic Music Row in Nashville, Tennessee, Frost Specialty's focus is as specialized as their products. With an in-depth knowledge of the business of entertainment, Frost Specialty has continually developed exclusive and specialized programs tailored to all facets of the entertainment industry. For more information and to learn how Frost Specialty can become one of your biggest assets, email info@frostspecialty.com or call 615-322-9171.
I know. So you're probably paying the most attention to streaming charts now because, I mean, do you look at the overall streaming charts that include TikTok and YouTube and all the, you know, services? Are you paying attention to that or are you?
I mean, I, you know, because of some of the recent cuts, you know, there's lots of little birds in the ear being like, oh, will this go to radio? Will this go to radio? Now I've looked at charts more than I used to, but to be honest, I mean, this probably doesn't sound very good, but I'm just not really that, I'm not really a numbers person. I'm so excited that certain songs
are doing great. And you need to focus on the creative anyway.
But it does matter and it can change the dial, you know? Yeah. And, but you know what? In the last 6 months, yes, I've started looking at charts.
Yeah.
Which is really cool.
Well, I mean, it's also impressive what you're doing on TikTok. And Brian and I have talked about this just between the two of us. Like, oh my God, Mary really figured it out. And that's something that's really hard for a creative to figure out, how to work TikTok.
It's a different beast. I'll tell you what, though. What's so crazy is, and we were just talking about, you know, you never know what you're going to write in the room. What's so crazy is you can write a song called Coffee Cup, right?
Yeah.
And you leave the room, you're like, man, that was such a great session. Man, that chorus is so great. With TikTok, okay, so you'll have that feeling of yes, and you don't know what's going to happen with Coffee Cup, right? Mm-hmm. Well, let's say you have Coffee Cup and you throw the song up on TikTok. You're going to know within about an hour what's going to happen with Coffee Cup, you know? And
that is so impressive.
It's instant gratification or instant, oh, man.
Yeah.
So, but it's like the most incredible thing social media has done. You know, I was telling a buddy this the other day, you know, we can complain if a video gets like 5,000 views or something. Okay, name me a bar that you're going to go play for 5,000 people. You would be excited at the bar at 50 people. You'd be like, whoa, you know what I mean? Like, honestly. So it's been such a great tool and it's been fun. Like, it's so literally just been fun.
Really using it to test out songs?
Test out songs and also just like what's so cool. Obviously, you still have the algorithm that's a gatekeeper, obviously. But it's not like, you know, you have to convince, you know, someone to believe in your songs or that. It's directed to the folks. And Brian and I wrote Go South together, which dropped last year for My Artistry.
Yes.
And literally every single stream. And now I looked at it this morning. It's on Spotify alone. It's 320 something thousand.
Okay. Sweet.
No playlisting, hardly at all. You got Fresh Finds for a little piece. Very grateful.
That's awesome.
Like almost all of it, probably about 95, 97, 98% was from TikTok.
It's huge.
So it's huge. Yeah. And you know, when you don't have a lot of moolah, you know, for, you know, marketing and that kind of thing, like it can be a game changer.
Yeah.
You know?
So you have seen the moolah come through from TikTok.
Yes.
Now.
Directly.
Yeah.
Directly. And of course, I think about it as a writer, I've seen it even more so where like, gosh, I know last year I'd had a little over a dozen songs that I was a writer on go viral for other people. And I saw directly where their streams were so much higher.
Yeah.
Unless you're like, you know, obviously on Hot Country or whatever, like it is going to be, you know, that organic virality that makes a big difference, you know? So it's kind of cool. It's just a great tool though. At the end of the day, it's a tool and it's really not, it can be a vanity metric. Like, oh, I have X amount of followers, but it's really, I view it as like, it's a funnel to the music. You know what I mean? So it's really cool though. It's fun.
And your algorithm probably, like, you probably opened yourself to the algorithm and, like, placed yourself in a good spot. I don't know how to really phrase this, but by just being consistent?
I think so. Like, yeah. And I never.
How often are you working on your TikTok when you have two writes every single day of the week?
Totally. Well, like today, for example, after we wrap, I'm literally going to go home and film 8 TikToks. I worked on that this morning. And, but it's not, it sounds like very dramatic.
So will that cover you for the week?
You know, it'll cover me for the week. Now, there were different times. So the algorithm has changed in the last. And I will say, I was very late to the TikTok game. I did not
do
it in 2020, which I kicked myself for. But literally, like Cooper Allen, who we write a lot with, was like, Mary, you've got to get on TikTok. Alexandra Cash, like, you got to get on TikTok. Yeah. And of course, their lives were changed on TikTok. Finally, I got on there and had some little, you know, popping off moments. But I never, I'll say with the consistency with what you were saying, I've never, for better or for worse, done anything but music on there. Uh-huh. Like, there's no, like, you know,
sharing your personal
stuff
life,
or outfits or anything like that, which is fine if people want to do that.
Recipes,
like, more influencer. Yeah. Yes. I just did music. And so, like,
that's
literally
cool.
All the followers are just music followers. Like, so I think that's why my conversion to streams have been, you know, such a good conversion, because
that's what they're getting.
Correct. Mm-hmm. And so, but I mean, you know, yeah, it can be like a lot, quote unquote, to film, but it's like, you know, you sit there, you lip sync to a song you wrote, and it's really cool. Like,
and for how many seconds?
Correct, like 15 to 30, you know.
And do you just, like, do a take now? Because you've figured it out, and it's easy.
Normally, like, a take. Normally, like, a take. And, you know, it's just so crazy.
Yeah.
Back in February, I remember I just got out of a session that ran really late, and I hadn't been able to book that week, you know, like, 7 videos ahead of time. And I hopped in my car. I was like, you know what? I'm just going to do a really quick video. I hope it's okay. I just actually did, like, a retake of an older video, like, with an older song. Long story short, that video, 15 seconds, got 1 million views.
Oh
now it's like 1.1, 1.2 million from February. I was like, thank goodness I got in my car and filmed that. You just don't know. You just don't know. But then you have the takes that you're like, yes, this is gonna be viral. 200 views, you know, you just don't know.
Are you a songwriter and wanting to protect your work but can't seem to find the appropriate coverage for the soon to be breakout star like yourself? Well, you're in luck. Frost Specialty has proudly teamed with the Nashville Songwriters Association International to create the first ever group copyright infringement program exclusively for NSAI members. Frost Specialty's unique plan will dramatically reduce the cost of infringement insurance while establishing lower available coverage limits designed to protect you, the songwriter. For more information and to learn how Frost Specialty can help you get protected, email info@frostspecialty.com. or call 615-322-9171.
I feel like you almost have this character on your TikTok too. Like, I mean, knowing you from the years before, you like really embraced this role and like committed yourself to the TikToks. Like, I feel like you've put on this, I mean, you are such a sweet, kind-hearted, like adorable, precious, all natural girl. And on TikTok, you're like, bam, like you don't even know who I am. You are wondering who I am. I am a mystery. And like, and it's probably because you're not sharing your personal life on
right.
there.
Well, you know, I think about Dolly Parton. I'm so obsessed with Dolly, and something that's so interesting about her, she is so mysterious, and it's literally her music just speaks for herself. She's glamorous. She is like, you get sucked into her universe, and she's a storyteller. And I think, you know, whether I'm writing for other people or it's for my artistry, I'm telling stories. You know, I get to play characters. The song I most recently released is Hothead, which Brian and I wrote together.
Which I feel like is that character embraced.
It's that, all the way. And it's literally, for anyone who hasn't heard the song, it's literally about a woman that finds out her man has been cheating. And she just, like, she loses it. She's like, okay, you think I got a temper, you're gonna see it. I'm burning everything you own. And that's the song. And it's just so fun to get to put on, like, you're an actress for 3 minutes.
Yeah,
and you get
fun.
To, like, you know, do like a mini movie. It's just really cool.
It is, it's so different from who you are, though. Are you open to speaking on your personal lives, and how do you guys balance your personal lives in this industry as young people? It's so hard.
That's a great question.
Especially at our age, like when you're
totally
like, do you want to start families? And you're questioning, you know, your career is like moving in this pace where you're having to balance a personal life in a way that maybe that wasn't the priority before.
Yeah.
What is that like for each of you? If you're open to speaking on it.
Okay. Well, I got married 5.5 years ago.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
That's beautiful.
So, yeah, it's amazing. And so, you know, I've had more responsibility ever since then, of course. Like after work, I still have a job. So I don't just like get to go to Red Door every night. Like yeah. My wife's waiting on me. I haven't seen her all day.
Oh, Red Door.
So I'd go home. We actually lived across the street from this building, you know, for most of our time in Nashville together. Uh-huh. But and now we have a son. And so it's really a balance.
How old is your son
he's
now?
He's 10 months old.
Oh, my goodness. You're about to have a one-year-old. That's
I know.
Crazy.
I know. We're that talking about his beautiful. First birthday party and everything. And it's wild. So
wow.
I have to have you all there. But yeah, so, you know, watching him grow, it's this balance of like, because I'm still in a place where, you know, I'm working really hard, working a job, having the wife and kid. And like, you want to be present with them. But at the same time, you're still trying to change your family's like life,
with
like
your career,
you know, with your career so that you can like you're working a lot so you can have more time with them at home later. It's like it's this trade and it's just it is kind of tough to juggle sometimes. And one thing Mary and I are always trying to do is whittle down, you know, it's hard to do sometimes, but like who we're working with and making sure like the quality of the session is there. It's people that we really believe in because we only have so much time.
Yeah. Right.
And honestly, sometimes I can only do right now, you know, the healthy amount for me is 3 or 4 sessions a week, you know, and
understandably,
it was great when we could do 12, but and like once I, you know, sign a deal, hopefully soon here, I'll be able to do more. But until then, you got to keep your family well and you got to keep your career well. And it's just, it's a balance. And I think it's pretty easy to like know when it's in a good place, you know? And I don't know. I think to me, you don't want to overwork yourself and you definitely don't want to not be present at home because if you are, the music's never going to be good, you know?
So
I mean, it's not just about the music, but you know what I mean? Like they both things have to happen. So
I do want to piggyback off of what Brian just said.
Yeah.
You know, it is so hard for, and that's negative. It can be a challenge, I should say, for people to slay in this business professionally and personally. And I think Brian is just such a good person. Like literally such a good person. When he says something, you know, it's, and once again, like sappy.com, but integrity and like, and that literally carries through with his professional, his personal. And I think like, you know, it says so much about Brian as a professional writer and artist and, you know, just a human. And I think that, you know, I think God has really blessed you a lot, Brian.
Thanks, Mary.
Yeah.
Trying to do the right thing by your family and by yourself and by your co-writers. And, you know, you talk about, you know, even there's different seasons like we were saying earlier and, you know, some are heavier seasons with the writing, but sometimes, and some of them are lighter, but sometimes the lighter, man, when you know you don't have any fat in your schedule, when you're in, I mean, when you're in the sessions 4 times a week, every single one of those sessions, you know you're bringing it, you know, and we know it just takes one to really move it along.
Yeah, absolutely.
And to answer your question, Amelia, too, about personal life, I guess in my world, I think everyone has their own way of doing it. Some people are open books on, you know, socials or with their music. They write very autobiographically. It's like their diary's open. That's beautiful.
Yeah.
I don't know if I'll ever be that way as a person. I think I really, I think the things that I love most, I am probably the most fervently protective of. Like even just to put this in your brain, Brian is one of my closest friends in the entire world. He has never even met my family.
Yeah.
Isn't that crazy?
And they don't live that far away.
They don't. But like literally, I think I put
you're not hiding
in the buckets.
Them or anything, hiding, but like you're good at just separating things.
Yeah, I separate things. And it's just like, even like with my writing schedule, I put things into buckets. Like there's this, my artist bucket, my sync bucket, writing for other artists and country bucket.
Yeah.
Writing for, you know, and I think it's also that with my personal life. And I think, once again, like Dolly Parton, I mean, she literally like, and all hell Dolly, there's other people that have done the same thing. But I think that Beyonce has done that for years as well. And I think that, you know, there's no right or wrong. It's really whatever's gonna make you thrive the most. You know, I think, you know, there's something about self-awareness. You know what I'm saying? And
Well, and you probably take that time to go home and visit your parents and actually remove yourself from everything that you're doing here.
I try to, you know, you know. But yeah, and you know, but the things that we love most, you know, sometimes, you know, we wanna, you know, broadcast that from the, you know, the Swiss Alps.
Yeah.
Sometimes we also just want to treasure that and keep that separate from, you know, an algorithm of posting like, oh, well, you know, this post of, you know, an intimate moment go viral. And like, you know, yeah. there's nothing wrong with people posting their personal. I think that's beautiful. That's incredible. I don't know if I'll ever be that person.
I think it's amazing that you found a way to make it work where you yes. don't have to do that.
And it says for something some people, for,
it'd yes. be easier for them to do that too. Right. You know,
that's just true.
Showing what is happening in their real life.
That's true.
Yeah. Creating these stories. You're a storyteller Correct. And yeah. you've created yeah. characters.
Yeah.
And it's, I think, amazing.
It's just interesting. People are just wired differently, you yeah. know? Yeah.
It's working for you.
Yeah, yeah, thanks, Queen. You know, I remember it was probably how I was raised, to be honest. I never really thought through this, but I remember my parents, they've always been very private people.
Right.
Like, really? Very private, phenomenal people, like bosses to the max. But I think they probably did wire my brother and me that way to a degree. So yeah. anyway, it's cool though.
Yeah. Another balance is having outside hobbies. Mm. Brian and I, we connect over food.
Food.
Yes.
Big foodies, lots of new restaurants in town. We're always keeping up with who's going where and what yeah. we've all tried.
I love that so much.
I'm sure you guys talk about the same things.
Yeah, we like to eat. Yeah.
Food
yeah.
is important, you know.
Is there a brand new restaurant in town that you've tried recently? What's one of the latest?
We went to a new place called Zhao Bao.
I have not tried that yet.
It is right by like Redheaded Stranger
yeah,
and
East.
Audrey. Yeah. And they had these seared buns when we were there that were just delicious bao buns, you know?
Oh, cool.
And these hand-stretched noodles. And the server brought this bowl to our table. And she said, there's one noodle in this bowl. And it can be up to 6 feet long.
Wow.
So here are a little pair of scissors that you're going to clip the noodle with to help you eat it. And it was just this like spongy texture. It was so delicious. And there's beef in there and some braised greens. And oh, don't get me started with the food talk.
I know. I love like, talking about food with you. We've talked about like yum. Starting, we're going to do like a podcast or an Instagram or a blog. Like,
yeah, yeah.
So, when do we have time for that? That.
But right. I love that.
Just about all the, I mean, yeah. there's so much in Nashville. It's just always changing.
Hard to keep
it's
up.
Hard to keep up now. I used yeah. to keep up. I know you used to keep up too. And Mary, do you keep up? Have you been to any great new restaurants lately?
You know, oh man, Halls.
I loved
Halls.
I feel
Halls.
Like it's starting to get embarrassing that people know me there.
Oh,
it's
that's great.
So
what a
good.
Great place to just be able to like walk in and they know.
It's
they
really, you have you been
bar.
To the back bar area?
Yes.
It's so quiet.
And I was so impressed by the back bar.
Oh yeah.
I didn't realize how big the place is.
It's huge. And it's like the front bar area is like its own energy. Then yeah. there's like the restaurant, different spot. They really just slay it. I love Halls.
I do
it's
too.
It's delicious. Now though, I'm trying different things on the menu.
Mm.
Not just
oh,
eating
great.
The burger and fries. So
oh,
like,
cool.
'cause I'm currently doing the no sugar, no grains thing. So
oh,
that
my
does,
gosh, yeah.
you know, kind of kill the traditional menu a little bit.
Yeah.
yeah. Mm-hmm.
I've been
it's
on a
great.
Little bit of a health kick in the last like
you
year
look fabulous.
Or two. Oh, thank you.
Like,
well,
actually,
we see each other on walks sometimes because
yes,
we're in the
we
same
do,
neighborhood.
Girl.
But she wakes up a little earlier than I do and gets her walk done before.
I try to.
The day I like get my work done and then I go on a walk in the middle
nice,
of
smart.
The day most of the time.
Nice.
Smart. Break it up.
Yeah. It's also warmer at that time usually.
Right.
The sun is really out. It's like I need to go outside and walk.
Yep.
But you have major like morning routines.
Oh,
girl,
yeah.
since we've talked, I've added to it. It's like it is a thing. Okay, so on the top of the year, I started the Artist Way. Have you heard of the Artist Way?
No.
Oh man, it's like literally has been life changing.
Okay.
And I did not just throw that phrase around. So years ago, before I moved to town, someone had told me about it. So I bought the book. It's
oh.
a 12-week program, for lack of a better word.
Cool.
And I opened it up to the first page. I'm like, this looks stupid. And I literally closed the book and put it on the bookshelf. Okay.
Okay.
So it sounds horrible, but just
times.
Keeping it real.
Mm-hmm.
So fast forward to this past fall, it was so weird. I would be in different rights. People would talk about the Artist Way. I was watching different interviews with people I admire. They mentioned
oh,
the Artist Way just over and over. And I was like, maybe I should do the Artist Way. And so I was like, you know what? I'm going to do this with an open mind. I'm going to literally read it with an open mind. Do the tasks it says to do, because
mm-hmm.
it has like at the end of each chapter, and so it's 12 chapters, each chapter is a week. I'm on week 10 right now.
Wow.
So I'm almost done with it, but the premise of it is it does have like different tasks and things you do each week, but you do morning pages. As soon as you get up, you write stream of conscious.
Wow.
3 pages by hand. And then weekly, you do an artist date. It's just a solo time. It can be as chill as watching a documentary and eating your favorite food, or as fancy as going to a concert.
Oh, cool.
Whatever, it's just things that fill your cup. And anyway, and it's not just for singers and songwriters. It's for painters, writers.
Creatives.
Anything that's creative. Anything. And it has been literally just like incredible. And
wow.
so that's been my morning routine. I get up, drink coffee, If I have time, I don't have an early meeting, I'll go work out. But then I do my morning pages. So it's just fabulous.
And Mary's coffee game is really on point, by the way.
I love coffee.
We need
so
to give
much.
A shout out to Matthew who makes the amazing espresso.
Lattes. Yeah. Yes, it's great. It's delicious. And
is Matthew here at Reservoir? Or?
No, my Matthew.
Oh, your
so yes,
Matthew.
Yes. So anyway, I love all the coffee and all the vibes, and it starts the day off right.
So you're making your coffee at home. You don't even have like a shop that you go to in the morning, or
unless I have a coffee meeting. You know, so okay. Normally I end up at a coffee shop eventually, but you know,
and writers that come to your home know that you make
so
great coffee.
They have a fabulous espresso machine. They just got a new one. I haven't gotten to see it yet.
You know, it's an investment, but it's an investment to write hits.
Right. Oh, so it's great going over there because you always know there's going to be a fantastic drink waiting for you. As soon as you walk in the door, Mary or Matthew say, hi, good morning. Would you like a coffee or espresso?
You know,
or
we got
whatever?
That Kentucky hospitality.
It's so good.
That is
know.
So sweet.
So, yeah. Always exciting.
Do you have a routine too?
My routine, I'll go to bed most nights at like, honestly, pretty late, maybe midnight, 1 a.m. Like I get home from work, try to wind down.
I think that's also the artist way.
Yeah,
yes,
I know.
It is.
A lot of us are night owls and our brains are like working the most at that time.
Yeah. I mean, full like disclosure, real talk. Like I wake up now and we're trying to figure out like baby's sleep schedule and stuff. And so my wife's not sleeping a lot right now. So as soon as we wake up, like he's awake and he's so excited to be awake. And she's like, can you take him and like go play with him? I need to sleep for a little bit. So like that's the beginning of my day.
Yeah.
And then like when it's time to get ready, like I'll hop in the shower, you know, go to a session. And yeah. So there's not, I used to love running and, you know, I'd go to the gym a lot and all that. But there's seasons for everything.
I'm sure you're carrying your child often enough. That is a workout in itself.
Yeah.
I'm sure that is true.
There's nothing greater I could do with my life than hang out with him. So he's everything. But I just say that because, you know, everybody's in a different situation. And just to be encouraging to anybody listening or watching this, you know, like you just love where you're at today, you know, because you can't. I mean, I'm never going to get those moments back.
Yeah.
He's never going to be 9 months old again, you know. Just love it, you know.
I think that's really important encouragement that a lot of us need to hear when we're like living in this city, in this industry.
Yeah.
You have to remember to live in the moment and appreciate where you're at.
Oh, for sure.
Realize the accomplishments that you've had and celebrate those because there's always more that we can reach for.
That's true.
And I can't even imagine as an artist the thoughts and the ideas and the way that you feel that there's always more to reach for. But you guys have done an amazing job. I'm so proud of what I've seen you guys do in the last, I think I've known you almost 5 years now.
Wow. And time flies.
Time is flying. Wow. And it's just amazing to see like where you both have grown individually and like working together. And I can't wait to see what more you guys do. But
ditto.
So
ditto.
Same,
for
girl.
You. The sky's the limit.
It is, and we're doing it. And
yep.
Yeah, thank you so much for your time today. I don't want to take much more of it, but
this has been so fun.
It has been so fun. I can't believe that we were, it took us so long to catch up, but
It was time. But today was the perfect day.
We saved it all for the podcast.
You know, yeah, we did. You know how we do.
Yeah.
We don't mess around.
No, and I'll be seeing you at a restaurant and you on a walk real soon.
We'll be around.
Thank you so much for everything that you're doing for Yep and seriously, for
encouraging
other artists and writers that are listening. I'm sure they appreciate your advice.
Thanks
for having us.
This podcast is brought to you by Average Joe's Entertainment. Since 2008, Average Joe's has been offering top-tier music marketing, distribution, and label services for acts such as Colt Ford, Brian Martin, Sam Groh, Eddie Montgomery of Montgomery Gentry, Josh Marinda, and more. Average Joe's has also grown into a powerhouse entertainment company, housing motion picture production and distribution entities, Hideout Pictures and Strike Back Studios, who have produced and distribute films such as Old Henry, Spirit Halloween, The Movie, Howard's Mill, and more. To keep up with the latest releases, you can follow them on social media at Average Joe's ENT. Or visit their website at www.averagejoesent.com.